ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hey everyone, this is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have Coach Gordon. He is the owner and founder of VMR Academy. And this is more of your speed and endurance and agility type coach. He's great to watch. I randomly came across him on social media. And since he's from North Texas, right here in our backyard, I thought he'd be a helpful person. He has a lot of insight and a lot about his program. So before I say too much, let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Hello, everybody. My name is Akeem Gordon. I am from Chicago, Illinois. I have been here in Texas since 2015. I had the opportunity to go Division I to play Division I sports at Austin Peay University, where I ended up transferring to start my collegiate career at Trinity Valley Community College. After leaving Trinity Valley, I ended up attending another junior college in Kansas called Fort Scott Community College, where I ended up graduating with my Associate of Arts. After that, I ended up attended Missouri Southern, where I had the opportunity to play football there. And I bounced around from bit to bit. So I ended up attending ECU for my last year, which is East Central University in Ada, Oklahoma. After that, I had the opportunity to go into rookie minicamp with the Jacksonville Jaguars before being played with COVID. After that, I ended up signing with the Calgary Stampeders, where I was given an opportunity to go there, where again, I ended up catching COVID. So my opportunity was limited. I then signed to play in Turkey, where it was a huge difference for me. And I already had at the time three kids. I was like, you know what? It's time to try something new. And so my last year, I signed with the Tucson Sugar Skulls in Arizona, where I was like, yeah, my career is coming to an end. During that time, I started training. During the year of 2019, I started the business called VMR Academy, Vision Meets Reality. And I wanted to help athletes reach the goals that they were actually trying to obtain. And I started seeing so many different people offer training experience, training drills and things of such. And I felt that it was a bit still and playing a part of being underdeveloped or developing kids, not at the full potential that they really need to be at. And so I knew that I could potentially be more hands-on in that area. I ended up starting the business in 2019. My first client was in Oklahoma. I charged them $10. Ever since then, I started seeing not only what the athletes could do, but how they could change based on what we offer them as people. And so then the business started to grow, but it wasn't growing fast enough. And so when I first started, I started begging people to train. Please just let me train you. You won't regret it. And then it started to grow. And then eventually I ended up relocating here in the North Texas area, located in Denton. And again, I ended up taking a different route where I was introduced to a ton of soccer players who needed skills and agility and speed and so on and so forth. And so I trained one soccer player, and then I trained two soccer players, then I trained 15 soccer players, then I trained 20, then I trained 35, then I trained 50, and it started to catch fire. And so within that time, it was growing, but I still wasn't reaching the audience that I potentially wanted to reach, which was football. So then I end up falling in love with soccer more than football. Why? Every sport, it uses the same mechanics. In soccer, I seen that at that time, kids were underdeveloped in regards to no arm movement, not running on the balls of the feet. A lot of them were toe runners, and so they weren't applying a proper amount of power into the ground. They weren't getting to the ball or to certain angles in a precisely manner. And so, again, it continued to grow from a soccer standpoint. And I got about another 25 more clients from soccer. And so every 25 clients I got from soccer, I was only getting one football player. So I was like, wow, am I just now a soccer coach? And so then from that standpoint, I started getting more football players. And then I started to realize that it all comes hand in hand, goes hand in hand. When we're talking deceleration, acceleration, breaking on 90 and 45 degree angles and 180 degree angles, I just had to make sure that the message was relatable enough for them to understand. And so it started to grow consistently. I ended up getting the opportunity by the grace of God to purchase a facility here in Crum, Texas, where it's continuing to grow even more rapid to the point where I may end up having to get something bigger. But in this business, I realized that it's not the drill that people are paying for. It's the person behind it. And so my main thing was to make sure that not only was I ensuring the athletes' results, but I was ensuring safety and, more importantly, results to the parents. And so I started taking it upon myself to make sure that the same way I was explaining it to the athletes, that the parents understood it as well. And so that's what continued to help it make it grow. And then I started hosting camps. And then I started seeing two people show up, then three people, then five people, then 10 people, then 35, to the point I started training teams. And my wife and I always say, who are we? And that is just us referencing to God. Who are we? Why are you blessing us so much? The main thing we start basing our principles off on the business is proper repetition equals efficiency. And it's biblically as well, just making sure too that it's not faith-based, it's not works-based, it's faith-based. And so we continue to stay faithful to the community. We continue to stay faithful to the people and to the kids and to the craft itself. And so the main thing when I'm putting drills together, it's not in regards to, oh, that's the coolest drill. I think that'll work for everybody. Because each week since we purchased the business, we've got at least three new clients each week. And it's not about the money, because we compensate for those who can't afford it. We compensate for those who are far away. And so we want to make sure that this business was different than any other business. And so for each student or client that comes, we don't treat them as clients. We treat them as family. And it's getting to know the kid, getting to know the parent, making sure that the environment is comfortable and, more importantly, safe for them. And so when creating these drills, we get a lot of kids who can't walk and chew gum straight. Some of them don't know left from right. And so the main thing we started basing the training off of is a lot of proprioceptive movement, gross motor skill movement, fine motor skill movement, activating the central nervous system, and more importantly, still getting to know these kids. The generation nowadays is so different because we call them tablet kids or iPad kids or phone kids. And so some of them at this time, they aren't outside how we used to be back in the day. We're building things or creating our own ramps or setting things on fire and running away from it, even though we caused the problem. And so the main thing we're doing with training too is teaching kids how to problem solve, teaching kids how not to be afraid of being social, teaching kids how not to be afraid of competition. And so the main thing that we started to amplify within the training business is making sure and ensuring and making promises that we could keep. And there's some kids that I've gotten. There's some kids I've gotten who they walk bow-legged and it make it seem like they have three right foot feet. And so the way that I speak to the kids, it really comes from my wife. Her ability to come home and explain to me, because she's a psychology major, this approach may not work because you're yelling at them or you're talking to them or you're doing this or whatever. Like everyone who knows me, they know that I'm a yeller, but I don't yell from a malicious standpoint. I yell from an energy standpoint. And so most of my clients, they ask me, do you do coke? And I'm like, I don't think that's an appropriate question to ask, but to let you know, I don't, but I'm that high on energy. And so my job is to make sure that not that I'm matching the kids' energy, but my energy is way higher than theirs, because I want them to know that most trainers that are training, they're putting people through drills that they can't do. I'm putting people through drills that I've excelled at.
Going back to what you said, you talked about your energy level and matching being higher. And I think sports psychology, this is something that I love and trying to better understand. Players match the energy they train in. It's the same way in gameplay. If they're playing a low-level energy team, they match. Even though they may be the better team, they match the energy that's in front of them. Yes. And having a coach that's high energy, and I've seen this as a parent, having my kids go to private lessons, if the coach is not high energy and very excited to be in that moment, they will not be successful. And I find that very fascinating. That's something that you picked up on, and all these kids are like, what's going on here? I think you're onto something there. But I find your story interesting that you started off with American football and you've moved to football or soccer, whatever you want to call it. And as a parent looking at this as an important part of the game, I laugh at my son because he has probably some of the worst mechanics now because his coach does not. It's nothing against his coach. It's just not a priority to him because there's other things that he needs to focus on other than the mechanics of a player. That's something you work on outside of practice. Mm-hmm. And you talked about running on the wrong part of the foot. And I don't think we as parents understand all of that. So if a player came to you, how do you assess and give feedback so parents understand where they're at and what they need to do next?
An example, I have a new person that's coming today. The main thing that I do that may be a huge sacrifice for other people is some people make kids individual sessions and they make them pay extra. For me, I'll take my time out the day just to make sure that I seclude that kid, just to show the parent too that I care more about the art rather than the money itself. There's certain drills that I have for kids that I use to assess kids for. So let's just say anytime that I start a kid off that's new or anybody that I train in general, I make them jog down and back. And as I'm talking to the parent, I'm still looking out my peripheral to observe what they're doing. That's me assessing right there. So I can tell if you don't use your arms when you run because some bounce their shoulders, or I could just tell they stay on their toes. And so I use different analogies for kids to understand when it comes to breaking apart a certain drill down. And then obviously I've never played soccer. So when people see me, they're like, why are we going to him if he's labeled as a soccer coach? But I'm not. I am a skills developer, skills development. And so the main drills that I use is step with your right foot, step with your left foot. And then when they step, most people that I've been training now, they know that anywhere you step, your entire body has to go that way. So if I step forward, I don't just step and not bend that knee. And so I'm looking for small little things like that. I'm looking for you to bend your knee and lean forward. I'm looking for your shoulders to go forward with you. I'm looking for you to step with the right arm and the left leg and vice versa. Some people don't know how to go opposite arm, opposite leg. And so if I throw complex drills at them from the beginning, I'm just another coach to them. And so in the beginning, I always tell them, I'll introduce myself and I'll let you know that I am very crazy. And in order to make crazy plays, we have to train crazy. Train crazy, play crazy. And so when people look at that, they're like, oh my God. And everyone knows that I'm crazy. And if you see every video that I've posted, I'm yelling in all of them. There's never a time you hear me saying, good job, good job. No, it's you need to go, you need to move, you need to da, 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 da. And people say, man, he speak faster than he run. That's the main thing that I'm trying to get over. You get to people, because if I'm just sitting there observing and not saying anything, you could be messing up and all you're doing is just spending money. And so for me, I always said that I would never do groups that's bigger than five unless it's a camp, because I want to ensure that whatever I put out, you know, that I'm a representation of that. And it's not just about me. Yes, we're in the process of continuing to get more clients and things that in that nature, but I want to make sure that it's credible. And if you see one kid doing it right, most people are going to be intrigued by how you're doing it. And so the series of drills that we put people through is moving lateral, moving forward, being able to change directions in 2 to 3 steps and nothing more or anything less. And making sure, too, that you understand where I'm coming from. And so some people say, can I just come try it out? And I tell most people that try it out, they end up staying for the long run. And so I get people that come from Oklahoma, Chicago, California, different parts of Texas. And Texas is a country itself. So Carrollton, Plano, Allen, Ennis, Salina. If I did an assessment session for every kid that comes through, then you'd be like, well, that's not enough time. That's a lot of time that you're dedicating to each athlete. But that's what we do. We dedicate a lot of our time to our athletes to ensure that it's nothing the same as any other training that you've gone to. You're paying for the experience.
I think that's key. So do you have, I look at the speed and agility side, because as a parent, just as much as touching the ball, I don't think people realize in a 90-minute match of soccer, the average time a player touches a soccer ball is 2 minutes. And when you hear that statistic, the rest of it is them moving around the pitch to be in position. And even when they have the ball, there's a certain way to run, and it has to be taught. But off the ball, and when you look at it, 99% of the time, they are off the ball during a game. And to have the proper body mechanics, and I don't care who you are, there are proper mechanics to have to run. And watching your clips that you have, I'm watching them. It's like, oh, this is like so-and-so who I know, who I absolutely trust. But you're local, and this is more important to me because you're here in Texas. Yes, and sir. You're tangible for people. So do you go through a off-the-field curriculum with them just as much as on the training field curriculum, or is it all why they're there working with you?
We talk about time, and I've always heard it. Time is something we can't get back. And so I make sure that the time that I have to create something that sticks. And so within the facility, the main thing that I try to do, and it's like a classroom base. I'm a teacher as well. So the main thing that I do with my kids is the same thing that I do in the training business. I make sure that I'm explaining, more importantly, that I'm teaching. And so the curriculum itself would be them coming to the gym, them understanding the little things that we're doing. And I always keep it unexpected. In a classroom setting, I keep it unexpected. And here's why. If you're expecting of it, then you're going to prepare for it. And then you're going to prepare the best way you know how to. I'm preparing you the best way I know how to. And I always tell kids, too, your speed is different than mine. So you're going to think you're right until you meet someone like me. And it's not to say I'm better than you or anything, but it is to say, too, that you want to go to someone who has experience. Experience is basically my curriculum, making sure, too, that the resume will speak for itself. I have a young lady who plays at the University of Auburn, young lady who plays at Louisiana, she's a freaking All-American. At Lamar, I have a guy who plays in the NFL. And so I've built a reputation to the point where it has become credible. And most people say, do you have a notebook of drills? Or no. When I see how you run or how you perform in certain little things, I'll kick a drill to the side and, you know what, let's go do this one. because I know this drill will specifically suit you. And so most people say, okay, and they'll sitting there and they're watching. And sometimes the parents don't know what's going on. They'll see a video and they'll think it's cool. And they're like, okay, he looks like a good trainer. But there's a difference between looking like a good trainer and understanding what the trainer is actually saying. And the youngest I've trained is 4. And I have some 4-year-olds who look better than my high schoolers. And so that's to let you know that the curriculum, it works for everyone. It's a curriculum that's suitable for everyone. And I titled it The Book for Dummies. And I always say, you're not dumb. I said, but when it comes to these different type of drills, it's like hieroglyphics for you. It's very hard to understand. More importantly, it's new and it's something that's being introduced. And so the curriculum that I've created for people is basically the category of low, medium, high. You got your beginner, you got your middle, then you got your expert. Everyone's still at that beginner stage until they finally go against someone who's been training years for this, who has actually know how to apply the training to in-game play settings. And then that's when I started to mix it up a bit. Hey, bring a soccer ball. Let's throw something in there. And then I try to get active with them. I'll play goalie or try to play defense or whatever. And yes, I don't know what I'm doing as far as goal, as far as soccer technique. But my athleticism kind of substitutes for that part of it. The main thing I'm doing is creating athletes that when you get to the point of being in the game and you're in an unexpected situation or unusual situation, that you're not thinking about how to execute something. You're actually being more reactive more than anything. That answers your question.
No, it does. And moving forward with your training sessions with players on teaching mechanics, there are, I can't think of all the terms right now, I'm drawing a blank, but there is a poly something, what's the word? It's different motions, but it's more of a full body motion. So you talked about that. I liked what you talked about. When you take this step, your body has to go that way. Yes. And things like, when you're looking at athletes, most parents and most athletes don't think about it. And you hit it right there on the head. It is making it second nature to do these motions. So how often do you see athletes and trainers? Do you have a program where it's like once a week, or is it when they can make it, or is it like you have an expectation? Like you have, I'm not trying to be mean, but you fire clients, because at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer. Either you put the work in or you're gone. I tell my son this all the time. He's 11 and my daughter's 7, and I tell her, I'm starting to get to her, like, either you put the work in or you quit doing what you're doing. Yes. You may love it, but we don't do it at that level.
Absolutely.
I think players have to understand that if they're not doing do what you ask and apply it, there's no point of them coming back. You're wasting your time. You're wasting parents' time. You're wasting their time. Do you have those high expectations for your clients that are coming in? And do you make sure that the 4-year-olds to the 20-something-year-olds understand this? Or is there a way that you break it down better for them to understand?
Correct. So at the moment, I have a 6-week clinic that I'm conducting that we're now into the 3rd week. I try to host clinics every so often for those who can't make twice a week, or for those who can't make it as frequent as those who are close by. You asked if I have is it a once a week or twice a week? I give people that option. Depending on what you want to see and how fast you want to see it, it's on you. So usually I'll offer 8 sessions for the month for $60 a session, which comes out to be $480. For those who want to come once a week, I tell them it's 75. And here's why. I hated discussing numbers with people, but when I tried to make it super duper affordable, people started abusing it. Once I started saying, you know what, I'm going to make you actually pay. And when you pay, you're going to actually see the results. I heard this phrase, when you try to dumb it down, that's when you realize that you're cheating yourself. And to the point where someone said, parents have money, and if they care about their children, they'll invest in them the correct way. And I'm the correct way. And so I get people who come once a week, and I tell them all the time, within the first 3 sessions, I guarantee that you will see what you're looking for. What you've been looking for years is what you'll find here in weeks. And so it's a curriculum. It's a plan that I and my wife have established to the point where we know what works for kids. A lot of the things that I do, I experiment on my kids. So if there's drills where we're doing jump rope through hula hoops, people are like, what does this work on? Why are you making my kids jump through hula hoops? I'm not making them jump through them. I'm making them jump over them. And so a lot of kids don't have rhythm. We're here to establish that rhythm. We're here to make sure that they can do two steps to the left and two steps to the right. I make it a friendly environment to the point where not only are they now open to doing the drill full speed and making a mistake full speed, but they aren't intimidated if they do wrong. And I always tell them, this is the place to make a mistake. Once you start playing in the game, you're able to make mistakes, but they have to be very limited. My job is to make sure I'm limiting mistakes, because let's say you do get to touch only one ball within that 2 minutes. You have to carpe diem, seize the moment. That's either your chance to make sure that when I touch this ball, either I'm going to score and this coach keep me in, or if I touch it and I lose it, I'm most definitely getting out. And so I'm trying to ensure the kid that you have to make sure whatever you do, even if it's a mistake, it has to look full speed. Because we can tell when a kid mess up, makes a mistake, they get down on themselves and they walk to the sideline or they look out the corner of their eye. My job is to make sure when they make a mistake that it doesn't even look like a mistake. It looks as if they're continuing to play the game and they're out there trying to improvise. And so even if you drop a ball in the game, let's say from a football perspective, you drop a ball in the game, I want to make sure too that when you drop that ball, you're able to shake back. I want to make sure that if I am training a goalie and she misses a goal and she gets scored on, that the next three times that she doesn't get scored on. Because it's easy to lose our momentum by letting our flesh self take over during the game. I'm trying to make sure that you continue to have that faith in yourself and from the Lord himself to make sure that, you know what, this is something that I can do and I can continue to do it at a high level. And so when people hear me talking, they're like, man, like, why is he so consistent? Consistent is the word that I'm trying to harp on. Man, he come here yelling at us every day. And I always tell them, just because I'm yelling at you, it doesn't mean I dislike you. It doesn't mean that at all. I see potential that you don't see nor feel.
I think that is huge because you talked about several of the things. I look at it from the soccer perspective because that's where my life evolves around right now. Yeah. And it's fascinating because if you have the mechanics behind you, doing things properly, how to properly put your foot on the ground, properly running. And when you do make those small mistakes, let's say you're dribbling down the field and you lose the ball and you can make that cut to turn around and go win the ball back or go run the 75 yards to run that person that stole the ball from you. You have a greater chance have a greater chance of winning the ball back. And your coaches see that. And I find it fascinating when you look at kids today that they lose the ball. And I swear this comes back to the tablet mentality you talked about earlier. Kids on devices, they can just put the phone down and come back. In the real world, they can't. They have to turn, they can pause the game. They can catch their moment and go back and playing the video game or whatever they're doing. And in real life, you have to turn around and go run that 75 yards, win the ball back, or try to, and to show your coach that you're capable of it. And I'm watching kids today that they win the ball and they're getting smoked. And I can guarantee it's not because they're not athletic. It's because they don't have the proper mechanics behind them. So you talk about different things you do. Do you have, when you're teaching these classes and working with them, do you work through... what's the word I'm looking for? A series of set. I'm going to use my son and my daughter. So if my son came, you wouldn't have him and her in the same class. Would you try to, are you able to have different levels of players coming in at the same time? Or do you break it down differently?
Okay. So there's today or tomorrow, I'm training a kid who they're brothers, training he's 12 years old and then the other one is 8. Typically, the younger one always picks it up way faster than the older ones. Why? Because they're receptive. They're a bit more receptive. More importantly, the older kids, they have developed a habit that's good to them, but it's really a bad habit. And so let's say for your son and your daughter, if majority of the time when they're siblings, they majority of the time struggle with the same thing. So if you get one kid who won't use his arms, big brother, little brother is maybe looking at big brother and he's okay. If he's doing it like that, I definitely want to do it like that. And so now it's called environmentalist constraints. We learn based on what we're around. And so I don't have a problem with putting kids in the same group that struggle with things like that. Prime example, if I have a group of six, that group is mainly a group of six because I know for a fact that each drill that I create is tailored to all six of them. And so I don't want to create a drill or group that I know only two kids are getting and the other kid, four kids are messing up on. So I create something or I create the groups in general to make sure that it's for each kid that struggles with, that have the same problem with the same things. And so right now I have a brother and he plays goalie and the other one plays striker, but they both move like goalies. Matter of fact, the goalie doesn't even move like a goalie. The goalie, he moves like a power forward in basketball and the striker moves like the goalie. So his feet are very stagnant. My job is to make sure that when I am doing these things that I create drills, one that they've kind of went through before, but the terminology is different. Most coaches that I see, they do a series of wall drills. Everyone knows what wall drills are. I tell kids, most coaches do this to buy time, just to buy time. I make people get on the wall and hold that position because some kids don't know how to run at an angle. Most kids just run standing up. So all you're doing is putting force into the ground and staying in place. My job is to get you to push forward to the point where you understand how to keep this position and why wall drives are important. Then we do a series of drills where I have you walking. In the beginning, it's not hard. It's very difficult, though, because it's very slow. And most people are ready to get to the nitty gritty. Like, they want to run fast. First day, all right, I'm ready to run a sprint. I can show you I'm fast, coach. And then they're like, no, but I'm fast. I did this, that, and that. And then I put a sled on them. I put 100 pounds on them. They can't move the sled. And they're like, why I can't move the sled? And I'm like, it's because your foot is back here. You're not using your arms. You're asking God for help while you're running. You have to make sure that everything flows. And then it's a rhythm. And so I try to get kids to understand that the same way you move lateral has to be the same way you move vertical. Putting power into the ground, using your arms. Your arms are a constant movement. And then, too, you're talking to kids that haven't even been in science class or even understand science. Like, what is inertia? And I'm asking them these questions. And then when I tell them this, they start repeating it back to me. So you are a product of what you're around. And my job is to make sure that whatever they are around, which is me, that they're picking it up fast as I'm teaching it.
What is the most important thing? I shouldn't say the most important thing. What's the most common thing? Because I'm going to say soccer. What's the most common thing you're seeing with soccer players today that is the common issue? I know soccer players have a weird run.
Yes.
Because they're kicking a ball. They have a pivot toe because that's how they dribble. Mm-hmm. I talked to a running coach and he asked right away after he saw my son run. My son did track and field one summer. He goes, is he a soccer player? I go, yeah. He goes, you can tell by how his toes are pointing.
Yes.
How do you change those mechanics? Because that's not good for running. I played baseball and I did basketball and wrestling. Those were my sports and I love running. Yes. And the positioning of feet for soccer players, it just becomes a natural body positioning for the feet. Do you try to help them overcome that or do you try to help them learn to adapt because that's just how their bodies are now because that's how the sport has shaped their body to be?
I scare them. And for whoever's listening to the podcast, you want somebody to scare them too. And here's why. As you were growing up, parents would say, if you see a stranger trying to talk to you, you better run. And then you may see a stranger and the first thing you heard your parents do was run. I have them do a series of drills. We do plyometric jumps or pogo jumps. And I make sure that they aren't landing on their toes. I tell them, if you land on your toes, I'm going to kick the box over. And most kids think I'm lying. So they land on that toe, I'll kick the box over. And you see them tumbling. And the parents are looking. They're like, are you supposed to do that? I'm like, he didn't listen. I'm like, I want to make sure that you're not wasting your money. So the parents be like, okay, he He making sure I'm not wasting my money. That's all I want to hear. And so we look at it as to a point where we're paying for quality, not quantity. And so if I want something to last for a long time, there are some cheaper products that last longer than name brand products. If you think about it, I'm that non-name brand product. Some people will go from Texas all the way to Arizona just to say, oh man, I seen you on the internet. You had 150,000 followers and I want to train with you. And now you're paying that $1,200 for a month when you can get everything in 1 month from me for $480. I also have a ruler that I hit kids with, okay? And I poke at the feet and I jab and I antagonize them a bit because no one wants to be hit with the ruler. So I say, if I see those toes pointing down again, I'm gonna bite you or I'm gonna hit you in the head or I say something crazy. Now, I've never bit a kid, okay? I'm not Mike Tyson, but I scare them to the point where no one wants to get bit. And then sometimes some kids will try to test their luck. So I'll start walking to them and I'll be like, and they'll be like, no, I know what I'm doing. My toes were down. I put them through a series of drills. And I also demonstrate. I say, hey, which one gets me higher, this one or this one? And they'll be like, being on the balls of your foot. I know. And so I make them take their shoes off. We do a ton of barefoot training just so I can see that part of the foot. Some kids, they've heard the word dorsiflex before. And they'll say dorsiflex. Then I'll say, take your shoe off and show me where your dorsiflex is. It's the same thing as a math formula. You may have seen the Pythagorean theorem, but do you know how to use it? Everything is about angles and formulas. And the formula that I'm trying to give you is a formula that you can use for a lifetime and not a short time. And so I use a ton of analogies, like I've said before, and I scare the kids and the parents are fine with it. Why? Because it's different. If they were to go to someone and he's the same as Johnny, Joe, Jill, and Jack, then they're like, I've just wasted the same amount of money and I should have just stayed with one of those guys. My job is to offer something different so you can come back and so you can get more of what I'm teaching everyone else. And I see it all the time. I get one kid, he'll come, and then seven other kids, they'll come. That's from that kid, same team or same organization. And then the first kid who started the foundation, he won't come back because he's either discouraged because his friends are coming or just tired. And then they'll come back. Oh, no, he got faster than me. I got to come back. I got to put in some work. And so I make sure, too, that I separate these kids, too, because they want to beat their competition. Sometimes, yeah, it's cool to train with your friends, but is that what your parents are paying for? And so I want to make sure that your experience is different. I don't want you like, look at him. He messed up on the drill. No. And I'll call you out. You do it right then. Let me see you do it. I'm going to put you on blast to make sure that everything that I've said to you has stuck. And if it didn't stick, I want to make sure what I'm failing to teach is something that I need to get better at. And so it's a reflection. And so everything that I do, I record it. I record everything from talking to moving to whatever. I have a camera and I'll be sitting there and I'll be looking at them just with the camera right there. And they don't notice, but I'm recording everything and I'll play it back for them. And I'm like, what could you do better here? And most of the time kids, yeah, they're kicking the ball or they're doing ball dribbles with the ball of their foot, but they can't run on that part. And they're like, if I can do this with the ball, why don't I run like that? And I'm like, you telling me? I'm like, this is what I've been trying to get you to do for 5 months. And it kicks in then.
I think that's the one thing I think parents also have to understand is patience. Things don't change overnight, especially when it comes to body mechanics. Uh-huh. It takes years and years to correct.
Yes.
I shouldn't say years. For years and years of improper movement, it can take months to correct those bad movements. I can relate this to wrestling. They start young. So I was six when I started wrestling. And by the time I was 14, the mechanics were so ingrained in you that if you did it wrong, you knew within a split second that the half inch movement was wrong, mm-hmm. that it was so critical to be correct, yes. going through certain motions, because when you do it live and someone's pushing on you, that half inch makes a world of a difference of gaining that edge. I can only look at football and soccer, both of them, a half inch can mean the difference of receiving, trapping the ball and going, or in American football, it's receiving the ball and running and winning. And I don't think parents truly, that are not paying attention to that. I think we are so far removed at times that we don't pay attention to the very granular detail of everything that needs to be done. Is there anything you would tell parents right now that you would advise them to do? We'll get to where you're at and everything, but to look for, to see what they need before they bring their child in. So to make sure that they're heading down the right path with their athlete.
I would say the main thing is making sure your children are not wearing Hey Dudes and Crocs or slippers to school. Here's why. That's the only time of the day they're moving around the most. They're depleting the kid's foot by taking the arch away. So now some kids come flat-footed to me. And when I'm telling them to point their toes up, goes up maybe a centimeter. So now they still are hitting the back of their heel, and it's decreasing all the power that they could potentially have. It's just like when we sit in seats like this and you get up and the kid starts walking with a hunch. You start to become what you are. Everything, the same way you do anything is how you should do everything. And that's what is coming to that. That is what the world is conforming to in a bad way. Okay, if I do this way, then I'm just going to keep it that way because it's been working this whole time. I have a kid who I spoke with his dad yesterday. The kid is going to be freaking phenomenal. He may be the first 5-star athlete to be in this city where I'm training. They've not seen anything like him. But he wears slippers to school, Uggs, and nice shoes too. But I say, Dad, he needs to start wearing gym shoes. If that small thing will create such a big factor in the long run. And it shows not only how dedicated the kid is, but it shows how committed the parents are. And if you don't want to pay for a foot doctor, I suggest do it now. And so I would say things like that. I would say taking your kids off technology, because some people see things on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram and they think they can do it without putting the work in. It's blood, sweat, and tears in this. And so when I take a kid to the hill, he's like, what's this? I'm like, you never ran a hill before? No, I seen on my video game. This isn't a video game. This is real life, brother. And that's the thing. People are so stuck in virtual when they can, but they don't know that this is real life. And money isn't easy to come up on. And college and these clubs, they're getting equivalent to those prices. And so if that's an expense that you want to take off as far as, you know, making sure they have good, proper footwear, making sure that the diet is perfect, making sure that they have equipment at home that they can just play with, just buy the equipment and lay it around the house and let them make a mess. Let them make a mess, because if you don't, they'll be afraid to do anything. So let them.
Where can we find your information at? So if someone's looking for you, we can go find it.
Oh, man, I'm all over social media. Instagram, Facebook is where I started it at. Twitter, which I really don't get on. I would say mainly two. Obviously, again, I am very active on these social media sites or whatever. And I'm free. Like, you don't have to pay for a consultation to call and talk to me. I'll talk to you just because I like to talk. But you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, again, Twitter, TikTok, where everyone likes to get on and dance. But yes, that is where you can find me. I am easily available to get access of or get a hold of. My facility is located here in Crum, 5034 Hopkins Boulevard. You can type it into Apple Maps, and it'll pop up as VMR Academy, which just happened yesterday. And so trying to make this thing very global to those who actually care about their kids' development.
My favorite question, who has been the greatest influence on you as a player and a coach?
Whew. All right, here we go. I got three people. I'm not going to sound cliche. You get people say, I just want to thank God for everything that he's done for me. Without him, nothing's possible. It's not that simple. I am going to give all the thanks to God, all the glory to him for being so graceful to me, so merciful to me. I'm not a person that's going to sit here and hide anything from me. I always tell the kids, you'll never know what the truth looks like if no one is being honest to you. And I share my testimony with every kid that comes through there. Even if they're 4 years old, they'd be like, Coach, you weird. Well, I'm just trying to let you know who God is himself. I've been through so much in my life. This is my ministry, to help people, to help kids. And it's not just a good job, pal. is to actually correct them where they're doing wrong and to correct them where they're doing right. God has helped, has brought me through this infamous journey where I can actually give back, share my testimony, share my word, and make sure that I'm helping kids understand what life really is, because it's not just sports. Then I want to give thanks to my wife, because without her, I don't know where I would be. She's the reason for this business. She started this business. She created this business. I'm just the drill maker. She's the person behind everything. She creates the camps. She's the reason for the organization of things. She is the reason for it all. And more importantly, the love that comes behind it. Because if I didn't have her, the business would be totally different, because it'd be based off of intrinsic instead of extrinsic. Just because I can do something doesn't mean that someone else can do it the same way. So shoot out to her, shout outs to my wife. And then my junior college coach by the name of Jordan Gush. Everything he's taught me, man, he was just being real with me one day. And he said, I'm just let you know, you're not going to make it. And some people will look at that as, you're trying to down me? How dare you? And I looked at it as if I need to work harder. And eventually I was part of that 1% that made it. But I always thought of him and I was like, man, he was real with me. He kept it 100. I can't tell it, keep it a buck. And so his ability to explain things, bring me into meeting rooms with him, show me the behind the scenes things of how things are being organized and how things are being structured to the point where it's tailored to an athlete and not to just the person itself.
Hey, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed this episode this week. Coach Gordon was great to have on. He is a great man. His social media shows what he's actually doing. If you have questions, go check it out. All of his information's in the show notes. Don't hesitate to reach out to me or reach out to him. If you have questions, like he said, he's always willing to chat and up to a conversation. So I hope you take him up on it. I hope you go check him out on all of his social media and possibly go check him out and try him out. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.